was blind, but now I see. What a wonderful afternoon it's been. Thank the Lord for this meeting, for the songs that have been sung, the good fellowship, and the words Brother London has already brought, along with the sweet prayer. We know that all good things come from the Lord, and we give Him the praise and the honor and the glory for that. I do ask that you'd pray for me as well as I stand before you. I don't intend to be here very long this afternoon, but we'll leave that in the Lord's hands and try the best we can to follow the leadership of the Lord. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you from the book of James this afternoon. Like looking at chapter 1, James chapter 1. I'd like to begin reading right at verse 17 of James chapter 1. We'll read down through verse 25. James chapter 1, verses 17 through 25. James, as a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, writes to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, writes to the children of God, and I'm so thankful that we have this recorded in God's Word. Verse 17, he says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightforth forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." It says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And I think we can all say a hearty amen to that. And isn't that true really of every text in the Bible? We can read it. And what we should say, and as the Lord gives us understanding, from our heart, we ought to say, thanks be to the Lord, and a hearty amen. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. That means any good thing in our life, any blessing we have, any natural blessing, every spiritual blessing, all that we have that's worthwhile and right in this world. And if we were left to ourselves, there wouldn't be anything right and worthwhile. It would be all just a big mess, just like we are a big mess. But the fact of the matter is, because of what the Lord has done and the works of the Lord, we have our lives filled with many good gifts and many perfect gifts, the gifts that come down from the Lord. And that doesn't mean that there is any one of us who get to be in a place where we are completely perfect. We have a lot of things that is wrong with us. But the things God has done for us, the things God has worked in us, the things that God does in our life and the way that God moves in our life, every one of those things are done just right, because they're done by a God who cannot do anything but that which is absolutely right and good. And every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And He tells us where they come from. They don't just fall out of the sky. They don't just happen. You know, sometimes we say, well, thank your lucky stars, or that was good fortune or good luck or some other thing. It's not just from some being that happens to be out there. We're talking about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of the Bible, the God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament. We're talking about the God who's identified in the Bible as God the Father and God the Son, the Word, the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. And every good gift is, and every perfect gift is from above. That's where our Father is. And it cometh down from the Father of lights. And that is anything that is not darkness, that which in the Lord there is no darkness at all. And Brother London has laid out the fact that if it was not for the Lord, we'd all still be in the dark. We were not only in the dark, we not only sat in the darkness, but we who were sometimes darkness, there was no light in us. There was no ability. And the idea and the thought that if I just shine a light in there, that when the light is shining in darkness, what happens to the darkness? The darkness comprehended it not. And so if we have any light, where did that light come from? That had to come from outside of us. And who does that come from? It comes from the Father of lights, which I believe means He's the source of light. So as Brother London stood before us today, I felt some light being shined. I know where that comes from. That comes from the Lord, because I know what was in London and what was in me and what was in you. And if it had not been for some light that the Lord gave me, I couldn't see the light that was being shined. If it had not been from some light the Lord gave him, he wouldn't have any light to shine. And so when we do that which God has called us to do, and how do we do it? We do it in our seemingly imperfect way. We have so many things wrong with us. And yet the Lord gives us grace for grace. Isn't that wonderful to know we have a God who blesses us in the doing? When we do what God has called us to do, He'll bless us in the doing. And at times when we may have felt we made our biggest failure and it would be to us. And really, that's the way you always see God's little children. When they feel like they are nothing, then are they strong in the Lord. And when they feel like they're something, then they've lost any ability at all to be walking as the Lord would have them to walk. We must remember what we are. And that's what this passage is really telling us, that we should always be remembering who we are. And also remember who He is. And what we are with Him, we want to keep that in mind, but we also ought to want to remember what we are without Him. Because every good gift and every perfect gift, none of them comes from me. And none of them come from you. None of them come from us. None of them come out of mankind. They come from God. They sometimes come through, and many times do come through, God's little children. Your presence here this afternoon has been a blessing to me, and it's been like a gift for me to have fellowship with you. But I also know that the goodness that's there and that which is right that is there did not just come out of you. It came down from heaven, from the Father of lights. And He says here, and He's already pointed out some of this, He said, with whom is no variableness. I had never thought about not a bone broken, but that kind of gave me a little thoughts there. And there's no variableness. He does not change. God's not different today than He was yesterday. And He'll not be different tomorrow. He changes not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And He says, Him with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There's not even a thought of God doing something differently or walking in a different way. So as we meet today, you and I can trust in the Lord to be with us. He already has been. He's blessed us, gave us a good song service. And where did that come from? That came from the Lord. He blessed us to hear from John 3:16. Where did that come from? It came from the Lord. He blessed us to look here together at James for just a little while. Where does that come? It comes from the Lord. And so as I stand here, and in my old nature, you get that feeling, I better sit down, I better go, I better, you know, where does my dependence come that allows us to be able to continue to do what God has called us to do? Well, we trust in the God who helped us this time, because if He helped us that time, is He going to change and not help us the next time? Or can we depend on Him to be the same? That same firm foundation in every trouble or every problem that we ever face? The answer to that is absolutely we can. He said, because with Him there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And then verse 18, it says, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. Now, was it our will that caused Him to beget us? No. Whose will was it that caused Him to beget us? It was His will. It was the will of the Father. Jesus came down from heaven under the authority of the Father. He came as the Son of Man, and verily the Son of God, to do the will of the Father. God sent him to save his people that he loved in covenant before the foundation of the world. You could call them from John 3:16, for God so loved the world. The world that he loved, the Father gave to the Son, and the Son came down. And the Father, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Son came, and it was of his will that he begat us. In other words, how did we get begotten? Brother London's already preached that. By the power of Almighty God. One of those good gifts, and I say a very, very important one of those good gifts. One of those that are essential to us to even understand about the other gifts. Because until we get this gift, we're sitting in darkness and we can't see anything at all. No man can come to the Lord except the Father which has sent him draw him. No man can come to Christ. No man will. It takes the work of Almighty God. And he says, of his own will begat he us. I don't believe he tried to do it, wanted to do it, or hoped to do it, or had some plan to do it. I believe he works this by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. There are some who would say that is this Bible that I'm preaching to you. But I say to you that it's another word. This Bible testifies of this word that's under consideration here. We go back over to John, in John chapter 1. And if you'll turn with me there, we'll read right from verse 1 of John 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And this is the Word, I believe, that He begat us by. Of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. This is John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. If you go over to verse 14, it tells us who that Word is just very clearly. You can't miss it. And of course, you've got all those verses in between that tell you that as well. But verse 14 just sums it up. And it says, and the Word was made flesh. Well, when was the Word made flesh? When Jesus Christ was born. When Jesus Christ was conceived in His mother's womb. Born of the Holy Ghost. Conceived of the Holy Ghost. And born when Jesus Christ, he says, that is the Word that was made flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. They saw his glory. They saw the living Word. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and we beheld his glory, and that was the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, this is the Word of grace and truth. And what were we begotten by? The Word of truth, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And John, in verse 15, says, John bear witness of him and cried. Who is John talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, though he came after John in his natural birth, he was before John because he didn't just begin when he was born in Bethlehem, Judea, as a little babe and wrapped in a manger. He was the living Word that was with God in the beginning, who verily was God. And it says in verse 16, and it says, and of His fullness have we all received, and grace, here we go, and grace for grace. Oh, isn't it good to know the Lord gives us grace for grace. And for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now verse 18, if you go back over to James, it says, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creature. If you go over to John 5 and verse 25, John 5 and verse 25, we'll just read that together. John 5 and 25, he tells us here is how we are begotten again. In verse 25, he says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. In verse 24, he's already talked there about the resurrection at the end of time. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. He goes on and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given the Son to have life in Himself, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice. And they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." And there we see that the same power that's going to raise our sleeping bodies from the dust is the same power and the same one who gives us life and regeneration in the new birth. And it is of His will that He begat us with the word of truth. Which means at some point in our life when we were dead in trespasses and in sins, as Ephesians 2:1 says, remember, it says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." Who quickened us? Well, did I quicken you by preaching the gospel to you? No, because if I had preached the gospel to you and you were still in darkness, you would have not seen or heard anything. Although the light would have shined, you being dead in sins would have never heard or seen anything. And that gift has to come from above. And when the Lord has spoken to you and given you life and you've been born of the Spirit, though, you have then light in you that is able to testify of the light that you see in the gospel, and you respond to that light, and that allows you to walk in the truth, and you receive grace for grace as you live here in this world. He says, "Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." And you look at this verse and you say, first fruits, what's it really talking about? All creation should be praising the Lord. Everything that's made should praise the Lord. The heavens and the earth praise the Lord. The animals praise the Lord. The birds that sing praise the Lord. How great thou art is about all the things that are in His natural creation that praise the Lord. We hear the brooks and we see the streams and we view all of God's creation, and all of those things praise the Lord. But above everything else that's been made and created in this world, God's little children are the first fruits of His creatures, in that they are set aside to praise Him unlike anything else praises Him. Today, as we meet here at this church, why have we met? We sing that hymn. It says, "Brethren, we've met to worship." We've met to praise Him, have we not? And to adore the Lord our God. He begat us with the word of truth, which means Jesus came and spoke life to us for a purpose. And what's that purpose? That we might come together in our weakness. And sometimes as we feel so weak, it's really when those times when we're so weak, we know I can't do this at all, that I have to trust in the Lord. That is when we're really pleasing the Lord. The only times we really walk righteous in this world are when we're trusting and depending upon the Lord completely. If I get in this pulpit and feel like, well, I've studied this out and I've got all this ready to go and I'm going to come and present all this, and when I get finished, everybody's just going to say, "What a wonderful job idea." Then is that really about praising the Lord? The answer to that is clearly no. What it is that we come trusting in the Lord that He would bless us with the words to speak. And when He does, we give Him the praise and the honor and the glory for that. And whatever He gives, we're content with what He's given. And we say, "Praise and blessed be the name of the Lord," even if I stand before God's children and I become a complete failure. And that's not only true of the preacher standing to preach, it's true of every little child of God when you walk in the calling God has given you. What is it really saying? Trust and obey. Trust and lean upon the Lord. Because when we're trusting in Him is the only time we're truly walking righteous. When you start thinking about when is it that God's little children are doing good in this world? The times that we're doing good is when we're believing in the Lord and we're loving the Lord and we're leaning upon the Lord and we're not trusting in ourselves and leaning upon ourselves. And this is what this passage is really talking about, is our job and our duty and responsibility in this world is to live our lives in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. And that is a life where we walk believing and trusting in the Lord. And when God's little children fail to do that, they walk outside of the wonderful blessings that they have here in time given to them by Almighty God, and they fail to do what they've been called to do. You've been called out of nature's darkness unto His marvelous light so that you would praise the Lord. So when we come together, it really gets to be, what are we here for? We're here to praise the Lord. I'm here to talk about the Lord so that you might praise the Lord. And you're here to listen so that you might learn better how to praise the Lord. And that you hear what He's done for you so that you get a little more. Doesn't it excite you when you hear what He's done for you? Doesn't it excite you when you hear about a Lord who loved you so much that nothing can separate you from that love, that He's got heaven waiting for you, and that He's going to be with you in everything He gives you to do, and He's got a purpose for your life, and He's going to direct you and guide you, and you can lean upon Him and trust in Him. And when you feel like, well, I'm just not doing it the way I ought to do it, you can remember that the Lord is able to even help my unbelief, help my doubts and my fears. He says, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. Why did He do that? So that you could be the first, a kind of first fruits of His creatures, which means you and I ought to be shining forth the glory and the honor and the praise of the Lord as much as we can. That's why He said, let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Then He goes on in verse 19, He says, wherefore? There's a reason that He's about to tell us this, and He just gave us that reason. He said, my beloved brethren, who are those that have been of God's will begotten with the word of truth? They're our brethren. We have a kinship here in this world. And that's what the disciples were called, to be fishers of men. They weren't just looking for anybody. They were looking for brethren. They weren't looking to make brethren. They weren't looking to call somebody to be brethren. They weren't looking to go preach so that somebody might be the brethren. There's a called out people, called by the Spirit of Almighty God, that have heard the voice of the Son of God. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And they've been made alive. And then we have this wonderful message to tell them of how great things the Lord has done for them. And we share that with one another, and we sing it, and we talk about it, and we hug one another's neck, and we love one another, remembering the great love that God has shown unto us, and we try to do it in such a way that all the glory and all the praise belongs unto the Lord. It's a great blessing when you come up to a brother and you say, that was a sweet prayer, and he says, well, give the Lord the praise and the honor and the glory for that. Or you hear a brother preach, and the Lord has blessed him to preach, and you say, I really enjoyed that. And he says, give the Lord all the honor and the praise and the glory. And that is true for anything we can do in our life. Isn't it wonderful just to be able to give the... We know, where does every good thing come from? It comes from the Lord. So who deserves the praise? It's the Lord. And when are you the happiest? When you're doing that? And when do you get messed up? When you stop doing that and go another way. Because as soon as we stop trusting in Him and start leaning on ourselves, we are no longer have any strength. Our strength is really there when we understand our weakness. When we remember who the Scripture tells us who we are. When we don't forget what the Bible has said to us over and over again, that without the Lord Jesus Christ, I can't do anything. But with Him, by Him, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. This is good instruction. In other words, our ears ought to be wide open. I've said this before. I used to tell my kids at school this. My grandmother, I think, might have told me. I don't know who told me exactly. I've heard it enough. That the Lord gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. In other words, we ought to do a whole lot more hearing and a lot less speaking. And here James is just laying that out by inspiration of God that that's the truth. He says, let every man be swift to hear. What does it mean, swift to hear? That means I need to be listening. I need to be seeking. I need to be a hearer. And then he says, slow to speak. In other words, be swift to hear, but slow to speak. Have you found... I know that I messed up a whole lot when I've been swift to speak and slow to hear. Sometimes I'm correcting something that somebody hadn't even said. Or I'm trying to straighten up something that somebody never even meant. Or I'm responding to something that I misunderstood in the first place. Where if I'd have been just a lot more slow to speak and a lot more swift to hear, I'd have been in a much better place. And I tell you, when you come to the house of God, that's the way it ought to be with each and every one of us. That's why it's a beautiful thing to see a minister come, not just busting at the seams to try to stand before God's people to tell them something, but coming in obedience to the calling of God and yet understanding, I'd much rather, and I've found this to be among old Baptists, I've seen men that were able to preach who would much rather sit on the bench and hear than they would be in the pulpit to preach, because they understood this principle that it's so much better for us to hear and nothing wrong with speaking. Matter of fact, when the Lord calls you to speak, you're not going to be happy unless you do speak. I mean, if you could not do it, then don't do it, in a sense. But you know, when we don't do what the Lord has us to do, whatever that is, and we can neglect that, how do you feel when you don't do what the Lord has called you to do? Well, you feel that condemnation. Sometimes you say, well, I did it, and I don't know that I feel much better. Well, you're going to feel a whole lot better than when you don't do what He would have you to do. And when you've done what He would have you to do, and you turn it over to the Lord, and let Him be the one who gives the increase. You know what I found? I found the Lord is able to bless when you feel like you maybe have made the greatest failure. The Lord's able to bless. And have you not seen that at times when you've done your very best and you felt like that just wasn't very much? And yet, I'm sure you've been in places where the words would come back. How meaningful that effort on your part was. And it really, you felt like, well, I don't know what I did. You just did what the Lord would have you to do. You know what the Lord requires of us? Just to do what He tells you to do. He doesn't require me to do what He tells somebody else to do. He doesn't require you to do what He tells me to do. He requires us to do what He would have us to do. And isn't it wonderful to know He's got a way, and His way is the best way and the right way and the only way, and we can just trust in Him. It comes right back down to trusting in Him and depending upon Him. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak." And slow to wrath. It's so easy for us to get mad quick. You know why? Because it's in our nature. It's in our natural, it's part of our nature. It's part of the old carnal man. Part of that part of us that's the old man that we're to put off. And he goes on and points that out. He says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." No, it doesn't matter how right you think you might be, how correct what you're standing for might be, when we lose it and we get in wrath and we might be saying what we think absolutely is going to be, ought to be said, when we say it in that way, he says here clearly, the Word of God says this, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." So when we lose it, we're not going to help anything. And it's not going to be of any benefit. He goes on in verse 21. He says, "Wherefore, because of this, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity." That's an abundance of naughtiness. That's really talking about depravity. He says, "Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word." What this is really saying in a nutshell is you put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is created in the image of Him that created him. That is the Lord Jesus Christ that is in you. We're to put off our old self. We're to die to ourselves and live for Him. We're to put off our old ways, all the old things that has caused us such grief and pain in our lives. We're to lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Even though we're born of the Spirit, we still have an old nature that wants to rise up. It sure troubles me from time to time. And about the time I think I got it under control, it'll show its ugly head again. And all of a sudden I've said something I shouldn't have said, or done something I shouldn't have done, or gone the wrong way. That's why I need to be aware to put that old man, that old woman, if you will, put it off and lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. When the Lord born us again, we're not perfect. We have that old flesh we have to put aside. That which is in us is perfect. That which that which is born in us is perfect. But this old man, this old flesh is still there, and we have to put that aside. And that's what James is telling us. And he says, and receive with meekness. Oh, meekness is such a beautiful thing. I'll tell you, that's a sermon in itself to see meekness. And that meekness, it says, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. That is the implanted word. That's what's been put in you by the Lord. That's what allows you to grasp hold to the gospel. When you hear the gospel and you hear it preached, there's something in you that says that's the truth. I know you felt that. There's something that you, as you were born of God, He wrote His laws upon your heart and upon your mind so that no man would have to teach you to know the Lord. And when you hear that truth, there's something that truth touches in you that is not just the preacher preaching that touches you. It's what God has done. It allows you to see, yes, when He's talking about a depraved sinner, He's talking about me. When He's talking about someone who deserves hell, He's talking about me. When He's talking about one who did no good, there's none good, no, not one, He's talking about me. And because of that, when He talks about a Savior who died for sinners, I feel to be chief, so that means He, and I feel it in my heart, so He died for me. So that by faith that He's given me, I can embrace the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for me. And as we do that, we as He says here, receive the engrafted, the implanted word. And what does that do? It's able to save your souls. Now, how is that going to save our souls when we receive the engrafted word? Does that wash us up and make us fit for heaven? No. What washed us and made us fit for heaven? Jesus Christ and His death on the cross. That's what did that. And my receiving it and embracing that, does that add to what He did or take from it if I don't? No. He did that. Who did He do it for? His people. Who's going to be get the effects of that? His people. Any of them going to miss it? No. Every one of them are going to have it. But what does it do for us? When we receive it, in other words, receive it like I want to believe it, what it does for me, it delivers me from the burden I'm feeling and the concern I have and the my fear and my feeling of the wrath of God, as Brother London had just laid it out, the wrath of God, just I feel it upon me. And even though Jesus has paid the price, until I look to the cross and the cross alone and said, that's my hope, that's my trust, that's where I'm leaning, that's where I'm depending. When I do that, then I'm able to feel the peace about that, and no longer am I afraid. You know, I have been sometimes so afraid that I've gone so far from the things of God. Have you ever been afraid to even pray? To where I was even at the point, I was just, Lord, I don't know that You'll hear me because I feel like I've just gone so far away. And what good news is the gospel that Jesus died for sinners who feel just like that. So that you and I can receive by faith the engrafted or the implanted word. Jesus Christ is in you. Listen. The implanted word is Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory, and you receive Him, you embrace Him, and it's like you're accepting that which He's done for you. Not to make it effectual, it's already effectual, but it gives you peace in your heart about it. And He says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness. That means we can't walk like we used to walk. And abundance of naughtiness. That means we were a mess without Him. And receive with meekness and humility the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. I'm telling you, there's a deliverance when God's little children embrace the truth. It's not how you get to heaven, but it sure gives you peace here in this world when you embrace the truth. And then He goes on and says, verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Sometimes we think, well, if I can just come to church and hear the truth, I don't really have to change how I'm living or how I'm acting or how I'm behaving. I just listen to the Word and I check that box. I came to church. I got that box checked. Then I can just go on out into the world. Well, that kind of religion is vain religion. What we're to do is to come to hear, and not only be hearers, but be doers of the Word. He says, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. He says, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, He is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. You know, you go over to a mirror, and that's what this is talking about. And you see the reflection in the mirror that comes back. And you look at that fella in the mirror. Well, sometimes we see what we want to see rather than what is showing us. Sometimes we look at it and we don't really see the image. Or sometimes we see the image and we go away and forget who it was we're looking at. We start acting like we're somebody we're not. We start acting like we know a lot more than we know. When you look into the Scripture, it clearly lays out to every one of us what we are by nature, doesn't it? It tells us we all are a mess without the Lord. It tells us that we are nothing without the Lord. It tells us that we'll never get right with God by doing good enough to have fellowship with Him. It tells us it's absolutely impossible for any man by the law and the keeping of the law to be righteous before God, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if I look and read that, and then I say, okay, I still think I can go do good enough things that God will accept me, and start trusting in that, and start leaning upon some action on my part to have favor with God, I'm like a man who's looked in the mirror and forgotten what he saw. And you know what that does? It doesn't change who he is. It just changes what he thinks. It does get him in a lot of trouble, though, if you forget who you are and forget what you're able to do. It says, "For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholding himself and going his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." And just because you forget it doesn't mean you're something different. Just because you think you're something different. If any man thinks himself to be wise, what does the Bible say? He's a fool and knoweth nothing as he ought to know. That means anytime I think, well, I got this all figured out, I've started messing up. Pretty practical lesson, isn't it? We're not to forget what we look like in the mirror. We're not to forget what God's Word tells us we are. We also want to see that on the other side. Sometimes we'll look at what we see in the mirror and we think, well, you know, and we just see that image. What the Bible tells us we are by nature is that we have no ability at all. But what it tells us in the Spirit, we can do whatever God would have us to do. So in one sense, the old devil would like us to let us believe that there's absolutely no way we can have fellowship with God. But the Bible teaches us through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can bow and be heard in heaven. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It tells us we're able to do all things through Christ who can strengthen us. It tells us whatever He's called us to do, He'll give us the ability to do it. He's made us able ministers of the New Testament. So when it comes time to preach, where does the preacher have to look to for his preaching grace? He has to look to the Lord. When it comes time to be a mama, where does a mama have to look to be a good mama? To the Lord. When it comes time to be a good daddy, where does the daddy have to look? Can he look to himself? If he does, he's like the man who's looked in the mirror and forgotten who he was. You've forgotten who you are. You think you can do that on your own? I'm telling you, what you are on your own is all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, which means you are an abundant mess. You are abundant depravity. You have and I have no strength on our own. This church has no strength collectively as a group of people outside of the grace of Almighty God and the gifts of God. But listen, as the Lord gives us the power and the ability, we as a church can shine as a light in this community, have an impact on this community that we're placed and the world that the Lord has put us. Because the Bible says you are what? You are the salt of the earth. You are the preservative. That means what I am is important. You have an impact on your family. You have an influence, not because you're something, but because your God is something. And the impact that you can have is in doing what? What the Lord tells you to do. Do no more or no less. And how do I do that? I become a hearer rather than a person. I'm listening to what He would have me to do. And I'm speaking when He tells me to speak. But I'm always listening, always desiring, Lord, show me. And then when He shows me, I need to step out by faith and do it. And when I do that, expect the old devil to tell you, you're just messing up again. Who are you fooling? He'll fill your head with that kind of thought. Who do you think you are? Remember, I've looked in the mirror. I've looked at God's Word. I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget that I'm something else. I look to God's Word as a true reflection of who I am and what I am. And in myself, I am nothing. But in the Lord, I'm a chosen generation. I'm a royal priesthood. I am a holy nation. I am a peculiar people. And I'm here to show forth praises unto God. And God forbid, He's been too good to me for me to do something other than that with my life. Which means I'm to live for Him. I'm to lean upon Him. I'm to depend upon Him. And I'm to turn it over to Him. And as I do that, He'll supply in every avenue of your life that which you stand in need of. That's true for your church life, and it's true for your natural life. It's true in everything. We absolutely need Him. He says, "For beholdeth He beholdeth Himself and goeth forth His way, and straight forth forgetteth what manner of man He was." So we don't want to do that. We remember who we are. And then he says, verse 25, and we'll close with that. He says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty." Tonight you and I are looking into the Bible. We're looking into the perfect law of liberty. Isn't it wonderful that you've been set free tonight? That you're not dependent on your good works to get you to heaven. You know how many of God's little children tonight are under the bondage of thinking if they don't do this or that, or they would do this or that, they would lose out on their eternal home in heaven. And their trust is not in what Jesus did for them on the cross, but their trust is in what they're doing right now to hold on to what He did. And they're scared to death. There's no liberty in that gospel because it's not a gospel. It has the name gospel, but it's not good news. God's little children have been called unto liberty. You've been set free. But not set free to live any old way. You've been set free to serve Him with your life, with all that you are. You look into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. Not only looking at it, but walking in it, continuing in it. And He being not a forgetful hearer. Don't be a forgetful hearer. I got to remember what I'm. As y'all told me before, brother, you preach that, you ought to be doing that. That's true. And I appreciate that encouragement, lovingly given. I appreciate it. It means a lot because it's important for us to be doers, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. That means there's a work to be done. Y'all, old Baptists believe in works? Absolutely. They'll get you to heaven. But they sure are somewhat God's little children ought to be doing here in this world. There's much to do. What is the work of a little child of God? To believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means I am to believe on Him and trust in Him. And I do that whenever I step out on faith and do what He tells me to do. And I do it to the best of my ability. And sometimes I feel like I've made a flop of it. Well, it's in the Lord's hands. I've stepped out on faith and I leave it in the Lord's hands. As long as I'm doing what He would have me to do, there'll be enough wrong with it, but I have grace for grace. Isn't that good? You got grace to cover what's wrong with it. When you walk in His grace, there's grace in grace. Notice what He says. This man shall be what? Blessed. And I like, does it say for his deed? No. That would get back to where I'm deserving something. No, this is still grace. You see His grace? He says, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Which means when you walk in what the Lord leads you to do, the blessing has come because He's led you at all. And then when you do what He would have you to do, as you walk in it, you'll have grace in that. He's given you grace to have something to do. Where would we be tonight if it weren't for the grace of God? Where would you be? None of us would be here. We might be involved in a whole bunch of stuff. Probably most of us can remember in our minds where we were involved in many things. Aren't you thankful that we're not there? I'm not saying anything about that by our ability. Remember, if we're not there, it's only by God's grace we're not. Only by His grace. But isn't it wonderful that He's called us to a place? Now, we could have missed this tonight, but I believe we're blessed in it, in doing it, in His deed. And really, that is when we're trusting only in the Lord. You know, somebody say, "Well, Lord, I've been to church. What do I get for that?" Well, that sounds like for the deed. No, Lord, I've been to church. I'll tell you what you get. You get so much in going, don't you? I heard a preacher one time say it, and I know what he was meaning, but I didn't agree with his statement. He said, "You'll get no more out of church than you put into it." I'll tell you, we wouldn't get much a lot of times. I believe you could get much more out of it than you put into it. Just like a farmer puts a little bit of seed in the ground and he gets a whole lot more back than what he puts in. But I'm telling you, it is important. There is a law of sowing and reaping. The more you sow, the more you'll reap. And the less you sow, the less you'll reap. And if you sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Oh, isn't it good to have a God who'll bless you in the deed, in the doing. And that in the deed means in the doing. Just in doing what He would have you to do. You'll have a peace in just being obedient to the Lord. Even if your efforts turn out to be a complete flop, if the Lord's told you to do it, He had a purpose in that. And so the increase is really given by the Lord. And you know what you've seen throughout the Scripture? Do you think for a moment that little widow woman felt like she had everything Elijah needed when Elijah came to her? Do you think she felt she had everything? You know she didn't. Because she was thinking, I don't even have enough for me other than my one more meal. That's going to be it. But she actually had everything that she needed and everything that Elijah needed, and though she didn't know it. When she walked by faith and gave to Elijah her last meal, God continued to provide because she did just what she probably thought, this ain't going to help him much. This will be our last meal. He just get to eat that and he's not going to be. But the Lord sustained it. Every day she went and got that same meal. He sustained it. And that's what He does for us. So what do? Just step out on faith. Trust the Lord. You don't have to have everything. He can fill your barrel. So that you have it, you can look over in there every day and say, I got enough to last me a while. Might not, because worms can come in there and eat all of that. Don't put your trust in uncertain riches. But He can do that. But He has promised us to give us this day our daily bread. He'll do that. He'll supply what we need. And I'm thankful we have such a good God to trust in. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.